Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Whatever candidate I'm supporting is going to be the one that supports term limits, because outside of that, I want nothing to do with them, honestly. I'm sick and tired of career politicians. So. All right, welcome everybody to the Financial Guys Podcast. Glenn Wiggle here and Mike Lomas. Haven't been on in a while. I feel like I've been off the air now for several weeks between the radio and the
radio
podcast.
Too. Busy. My wife said Saturday, she goes, do you and Glenn actually do the show anymore? I'm like, oh.
It's like, hey, 25th year on the radio. So. And then we took off for like 3 weeks.
All right. Our fill-ins are better.
Been a lot of stuff going on. The films have been great. And we have actually one of those fill-ins on the line with us now. We'll actually start with Stefan Mihailu, who's been doing a lot of heavy lifting for us, not only on the radio, but on the podcast as well. We appreciate it. And of course, Stefan, as most of you know, is very connected politically, and obviously has been occupied numerous offices over the years. And so we've got some political local news to talk about, which I think is interesting. I don't know where this guy comes from, Nate McMurray. This guy is
He really fits, right? Stefan, he fits in his little district. Where is he? Like
he's in
Elmwood Village, right? Is that where his
He's got like six Twitter followers. I mean,
he won. He beat Ben 90-10 or whatever. So that 9-1, not 10 voters showed up.
9-1, yeah, 9-1. What's up, Stefan? How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning. Life is great, guys. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting year this year. Grab the popcorn. I think the Democrats and socialist Democrats are going to rip each other's throats out, and it's a good year to have a Republican run right up the middle.
Yeah. He's a self-proclaimed socialist. I mean, you know, and you saw what it did. Even the city rallied around Byron Brown when they saw India Walton there, a self-proclaimed, communist socialist. I mean, there's still a bunch of Democrats that are like, well, we're not that radical.
They are.
But they did rally behind Byron and they wrote him in, right?
They absolutely did. I mean, the interesting news about, Nate McMurray throwing his hat in the ring for Erie County Executive is that here's a guy who could not even defeat an indicted congressman in a race for the House of Representatives. He could not defeat someone who was under federal indictment.
Wow.
And yeah, this is great news for Republicans, because you mentioned India Walton. She is running Democratic Socialists in every single city council seat in Buffalo, New York. What that means is there's going to be highly competitive and huge turnout among these radical progressives in the June Democratic primary. That favors Nate McMurray, as crazy as that sounds. So you can see a split ticket with either, an establishment, so-called establishment Democrat on the line in November, Nate McMurray on the Working Families Party line, and a unified Republican on the conservative and Republican line that could win the race for Erie County Executive.
Stefan, I'm a little out of the loop. I spent a lot of time down in Florida. Is Poland Cars out? Is he announced he's not running again? Is he retiring officially?
No.
Or is he going to face a primary with Nate?
Officially, he's telling people he's going to run for Erie County Executive. My gut feeling is there's no way this guy runs again, especially if Nate McMurray is going to challenge him in the Democratic primary. Now, I have a theory of what's happening. The Democratic Party and Mark Poland Cars are putting out a unified front and saying, Mark is running, Mark is running, Mark is running. That basically freezes Republicans who may want to run to say, well, wait a minute, why am I going to run against an incumbent who's got almost $500,000 in the bank? Then after petitions go out, once Mark is on the ballot, he withdraws his name, and there's a system called the Committee on Vacancies. It's basically all Democratic Party insiders who then get to choose, without a primary, without a race, who the official Democrat nominee is going to be. So officially, Mark Poland Cars says he's running. I don't think he's going to. I think the Democratic Party is going to pull a bait and switch and have the Committee on Vacancies pick their handpicked puppet to run for Erie County Executive. But now things change.
Is that puppet McMurray, though? Is
no,
that puppet Nate McMurray, or is that puppet somebody
not.
Else?
Someone else. I believe it's going to be Lisa Shamira, who is a former Tonawanda teacher, council member, former county legislator. And it makes perfect sense, because the Democrats elevated her to deputy county executive. I think they're grooming.
So why is Nate throwing his hat in, though? Like, who's supporting him? He has no, I mean, why is he throwing his hat in? He got no shot at all.
He is taking a calculation that based on India Walton running all the socialists in Democratic primaries all across the city of Buffalo, that that is going to propel him and carry him to victory. Mm-hmm. The same way that India Walton won the Democratic primary for mayor, McMurray is going to take the same exact template and playbook, and he believes that will lead him to victory in the Democratic primary.
Is there, now you understand this better than anybody, is there enough pull in the suburbs to overcome that? You know, when Chris Collins ran up against Mark, I think he won, and I'm pretty sure he won everywhere except the city of Buffalo and Lackawanna, and that's what put Mark into office. You know, well, can we get a big enough suburb turnout in the suburbs, I guess, is my point, to be able to overcome that?
Well, I do, only because if Nate McMurray is the nominee, you're going to have Reagan Democrats, sane Democrats reject him and go with a
which
moderate.
Ones are those? I'm sorry, I got to stop you there. Which specifically he's referring to? Well, I don't know, but you look at a lot of these, what you call sane Democrats, that are a lot of these college professors at UB in Buff State. They live in Amherst. They live in Williamsville. They live in the suburbs. They're voting socialist, in my opinion. These people are, unfortunately, they're educating our kids. They're not bright. It's sad what we have now as far as a lot of these educators go. But they're voting socialist all day long.
It was pretty amazing, though, when you saw
not vote Republican,
when
that's
Walton
for sure
was running up against Byron Brown. And all of a sudden now these Democrats are like, holy cow, this is a full-blown socialist. Like, she's just coming out. Most of the time they just lie, right? No, we're not a socialist. Yeah. We're a moderate. No, and then they get into office and they you know. But but she was full-blown communist / socialist. And they did come out and support Byron in big numbers to push him over the edge. So we'll see where
Well, I don't think but she wasn't a good candidate to begin with. I mean, she got on the ballot, to Stefan's point, by basically being sneaky and Byron being lazy is what
that's
happened,
right?
I mean, it was Byron assumed it was his. He did zero. She rallied a bunch of people, and it was, you know, honestly, it was like, what was it, 990 votes to 10? I was like, it was nobody voted. Like, there was nobody out there. And so, of course, she was able to sneak her way on there. But, of course, when Byron got his act together and actually campaigned, and then, of course, she campaigned, you're right. Nobody wants that brand of you know, cancel the police, you know, craziness.
Right.
I agree with that.
Well, there's a lot of
but they had a Democrat to choose from. If they have a socialist and a Republican to choose from, do they choose a Republican or do they choose a socialist? I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of tea leaves to read in the Democratic primary first. Now look at Mark Poloncarz attacking Byron Brown publicly. That was a huge strategic mistake, because if Mark is facing a Democratic primary from Nate McMurray, Mark Poloncarz is going to need the Byron Brown machine in the city to overcome all of those radical socialists. Yeah. Do you think Byron Brown's going to lift a finger
to
help Mark Poloncarz?
He hates him. He hates him. No way.
And now it makes more sense of why Nate McMurray is throwing his hat in the ring. He at least is seeing a path. And in politics, you got to have a path to victory, no matter what candidate you are. You got to have a path. McMurray has a path, but I think that path is going to lead to a unified conservative and Republican ultimately winning in November if there is a race between him and Mark Poloncarz in the primary.
Now, the other question would be, does the Republican Party show up? You know, the Republican Party has been, in my opinion, a pretty miserable failure over the last bunch of years in this state, you know, and supporting the candidates and really finding good candidates. And that's hard to do. You know, and people ask us all the time, are you going to run? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to put my family through that. Like, I've got a great business. First of all, we'd have to give up the radio show, which we love doing. So I don't know if I'd want to do that. And I couldn't blame any business guy.
Democrats
for not doing
are vicious.
That.
Yeah. Well, they're vicious. I mean, they're showing up at people's houses. They're protesting at, you know, at children's schools. I mean, they're vicious.
My house. I mean, my wife, after a call after a call from the sheriff over one summer, she took our baby and our kids and had to stay at my in-laws for a week because of the very credible. And I had a death threat from an inmate. This is why I have a concealed carry permit. But I mean, the Republicans and conservatives have a rare opportunity to get on the same page this year. And if they thread the needle, and if they find someone who has either won countywide races before, someone who can raise money, I'm telling you, there is a path for a Republican to win the race for Erie County Executive. just because there's such a mess in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, like, I could see that. Just the support I saw behind Byron Brown, if the Republican Party does the right thing and gets behind whoever that candidate is, especially if they're going up against Nate McMurray, there's so much fuel there. I mean, the guy was shutting down Chick-fil-A's. I mean, there's just an endless amount of socialist crap that this guy has rammed down people's throats that he should be a pretty easy tag. That being said, now, Nick Langworthy is still the head of the New York Republican Party, right?
I believe he stepped down because that was the promise that he made very correctly. And, you know, in full disclosure, you know, me working for a political consulting firm, we ran Nick Langworthy's campaign for Congress, full disclosure.
Yeah.
So they are right now in the process of trying to find a new state chair for the Republican Party, but they're going to be less involved in the race for Erie County Executive. It's going to really come out to, and the petitions hit the streets in 4 weeks, guys. In 4 weeks, candidates have to start circulating petitions to run. So this is going to be a very quick process for the Republicans to find a candidate. And I'm telling you, with McMurray, you know, throwing bombs in a primary, now's the time to run.
Wow.
What about Mickey Kearns? What's the deal? He was rumored to run for a while. Is he throwing his hat in the ring? Is he not? You know, what's the...
That's a great question. Great question. He's getting a lot of pushback internally from committee members and town chairs in the Republican Party that if we want to run Mickey, he's got to finally switch to the Republican Party. Brian Rush, the Amherst Republican chairman, has said that, and so has many others. I mean,
I keep forgetting he's a Democrat still.
He is a Democrat. But even so, let's say he runs as a Democrat in a Democratic primary. You got Mark Poloncarz, Mickey Kearns, Nate McMurray, and whoever else.
Wow.
And they're going to bleed each other dry until the June primary, and then the Republican basically sits back and then just starts throwing bombs after June.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they can go out and find a good candidate. That would be, I mean, the county deserves it, needs it, after what we've gone through with COVID and all the other garbage.
Yep.
Right.
It's not even a state level, though. You look at a national level. I mean, for God's sakes, Dr. Oz. I mean, seriously, they couldn't do better than Dr. Oz. I mean, even Herschel Walker. I mean, I like Herschel Walker, but, you know, you got so much baggage there. I mean, but like I said, the sad part is, you know, it's hard to find good candidates when you're going to get destroyed. Yeah. I mean, the Democrats, if they can't find stuff on you, they will make it up. Right? They've said that. You know, they've done it. I mean, it's obvious now. And we're going to talk about that later in the podcast today. But some of the things now that we know from Twitter is just outrageous. I mean, the things that, you know, they created an entire group, you know, former intelligentsia, CIA, FBI, to basically label American patriots as Russian disinformation bots. Unbelievable what they've done. I mean, I don't know that we actually have at a national level an actual working government at this point. I call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, but man, it sure looks a lot to me like you've got some deep state strings pulling all the strings and making all the decisions with a couple of connected folks in the mix, which seems like the Bushes, the Clintons, right? They all seem to have their hand in that on those strings, some way, shape, or form. Yeah. So,
well, and it also leads to good people not running for office.
That's right. That's the key. And that's
intentional,
right? They know
exactly what's going to happen.
That's 100%.
Yeah. I mean, look at what the deep state or established, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, is doing to even Joe Biden right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're ripping apart Trump on documents.
Oh, yeah.
They're going
they
after
don't want him.
Him
anymore.
Right. They're going after him with Georgia election fraud document, and they're doing the same to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
They've decided that Joe Biden is no longer, you know, they don't want him as president anymore. So now they're going to basically remove him.
Well, they know his brain is not going to make it another 2 years, right? It's just not.
Right. 2 weeks.
So they'll just remove him.
2 weeks. Yeah.
2 weeks.
But think about this. You know, just go back to deep state for a second. So Hillary Clinton does an interview with Matt Lauer, who presses her on her 33,000 missing emails, right? She freaks out afterwards and says, "We all hang from nooses." A week later, Matt Lauer all of a sudden has a parade of women that come out, right? Seriously.
Never before. Nobody reported 1 ounce of this. And then 2 weeks later,
never.
It's like, yeah.
Yep. And it takes him down almost instantly. Yeah. That's some level of connected power where you can basically say you make a phone call to whoever the deep voice on the other end of the line is in a smoky room with dim lights and say you take this guy out and they rally the women and do it. It's scary stuff.
Well,
what was going on now. This is the Banana Republic stuff.
And if they're doing that at the national level, imagine what they're doing at the local level.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And that's why, again, you know, folks like that just don't want to run for politics, yeah. whether it's the, you know, president of the United States or your town council or school board.
Yep. No, I agree. Nikki Haley running for president. You threw that in your brief this morning. I saw she's going to make an announcement with February 15th.
For Nikki Haley, February 15th. I mean, you know, it's, and again, it's another case of someone saying, hey, I might as well give it a shot. I can run up the middle, yeah. you know, if someone like DeSantis runs and Donald Trump runs and they're basically destroying each other, hey, I'll run up the middle and run as a woman to be the first Republican, you know, woman candidate for the president of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, or no along shot. The lines of, hey, maybe I'm just running for vice president. Maybe I'll, you know, put it out there. And look, I mean, nobody thought Joe Biden would win the Democratic primary.
Right.
When he ran.
Well, did he, though?
did he?
I mean, again, in all seriousness, I mean, did he? I mean, at some point, you come down to a Bernie Sanders and a Joe Biden. I don't know. I mean, it looks a lot like Bernie Sanders got bought off and decided to kind of bow out of the race and hand it over to Joe Biden. You know, he came out. He didn't win in Iowa, right? He came, what, second or third in Iowa? I mean, he was a disaster in the primary. Joe Biden was put in that position in some way, shape, or form. I don't know how they do it, but they did it.
Well,
I don't think he actually won the primary. I think Bernie Sanders won the primary, not once, but twice. So I don't know. Just like Obama won against Hillary Clinton, I think that was a fluke, too.
And that's exactly why the Democrats moved the very first primary in the nation to South Carolina. Because if you remember, South Carolina saved President Biden in that primary. And now it's not Iowa, it's not New Hampshire. South Carolina will be the first state in the nation to have a primary in the race for president in 2024.
Wow.
South Carolina is an interesting state. It's kind of a weird to me. I don't quite understand.
I'm actually surprised it's not more red with all the people that have left New York. You look at what happened in Florida, right?
I mean,
the way Florida has gone from being a blue state to a red state. I'm really shocked that you're not seeing the Carolinas more red, Tennessee more red. You know,
it's like purpley. Yeah, you know, you get like what is his name there, Lindsey Graham. I mean, he's just you know, so like Lindsey Graham, Chuck Schumer, all the same to me. These people are all the same.
It's an interesting state to say.
Whatever candidate I'm supporting is going to be the one that supports term limits, because outside of that, I want nothing to do with them. Honestly, I'm sick and tired of career politicians.
Yeah. Hey, so. Stefan,
thank you, Stefan. We appreciate your insight as always. We'll see you this week.
You got it, guys.
All right, man.
Bye.
All right, see ya. Moving on, other deep state stuff, you know, the stuff that's now come out on Twitter that we found out about the manipulation from our own FBI and CIA and the things that they did to directly connected to control the narrative on platforms like Facebook and Twitter, as well as mainstream media, is absolutely outrageous. I mean, you know, they literally went online with this, whatever it was, Project 58 or whatever the hell it was called, and labeled conservative accounts, you know, Russian disinformation. I hope people sue, honestly, for defamation and whatnot. Yeah. But again, the power that they had, the connected power, is ridiculous.
Talk about suing. Okay, so Mike and Glenn sue. What, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and decades probably to try to fight that? For what? right? For what? Right?
So, for what?
Hey, right. did you see this? State controller warns New York's debt will jump 42%. By 2027, calls for reform. Wow. Well, there you go, champ. Isn't that great? You're the guy in charge. Let me tell you a little bit. If you're the state controller, when you find out 20% of the top taxpayers have left your state over a two-year period, you throw the warning flag out immediately. Like, this is not going to end up well. They did not only not throw the warning flag out, they just continued to spend money. I just wonder at what point. You know, we should probably put together a little gambling ring here of, like, you know, a friendly beer to the winner. What year does the state go bankrupt? Because you just cannot continue to have top wage earners leave. You and I, we've got probably the largest independent financial firm in Western New York. Every single day, somebody walks through the doors and says, my intent is to leave on 2024 and 2025 and 2026. And I am just amazed. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, who's going to be left here to pay the bill, right? I'm actually shocked that the real estate market held up the way it did with the mass exodus from New York. But of course, what happened in Western New York is you had the New York City people leave. So you've got a bigger mess there, which is an absolutely disgusting shithole at this point. And so now some of that has spilled back to us.
A lot of it, though, has to do with immigration, though. I mean, these we have millions and millions and millions and millions of people coming across our border. They're living somewhere. Yep. and they're displacing other people, and it's causing housing shortages, especially in things like apartments and rentals, and it's pushing people out in the suburbs, and it's pushing a lot of people into the streets. Yeah. And so you got a lot of that going on too, which is good if you own real estate, bad if you don't. And this is where you've talked about this for a long time.
Good in the short term. I'm not sure that's going to be good long term.
No.
Right?
No, but you're wiping out the middle class. Right? You're making those that own the rentals, right? I talked to my neighbor the other day.
That lower middle class, you know, that we've got a good house, we've got a good cars.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying our bills, we're doing good,
if you own it, though.
Yeah.
If you own it, if you own a home, if you have a 401k, if you have some skin in the economy, you're okay. But 75% of the country does not. Like, that's the scary part. Like, I worry about these kids that are now getting jobs. Like, where are they going to go buy a home, and how are they going to afford it, right? With interest rates of 6% and the average home price now at $250,000 or better, that's a pretty big nut to crack for somebody making 50, 60 grand out of college, best
case
scenario.
There's a place in this country that has tried that, and it hasn't worked out real well. It's called California. Mm. And the challenge, now what happens in California is you have wealthy families that continue to roll their wealth, right? Grandma bought a house in 1950, paid $20,000 for it. It's worth $3 million. Yep. You've inherited that house. You're rolling it now. You're buying a $4 million house. So of course, you're taking an interest-only loan out for the $1 million and blah, blah, blah. But they continue to roll that wealth. To your point, how do you move out? Let's just say you and I have nothing. I mean, you know, we've got a little money, but we move out to California. We want to make it. How do you, I'm going to buy a house and start over at $4 million? I mean, very difficult to do.
You got to live in your car, and you got to work two jobs. You could do it. It's possible. Yeah. It's absolutely possible. You bartend on the weekends and at night, so you make tips. You make as much money there. You get a sales job during the day. You're living in a truck camper van is what you're doing on in a Walmart parking lot until you can get, scrape up enough money. Or you get in your car and you drive somewhere else.
Right.
In all honesty, and that's what a lot of people are doing, is they're getting in their car and they're driving to Nevada, they're driving to Montana, they're driving to Wyoming, they're driving to Texas. They're going to places that have opportunity. Unfortunately, Joe Biden and his ilk are doing the best they can to crush as much of that opportunity as possible. Oh, you want a pipeline job? Too bad. Learn how to code. Oh, that market's collapsing? Well, too bad. Like, it's like they don't care. Yeah. There's a huge disconnect between Washington and the American people, and the American people realize it. And Washington realizes it. This is why you have an inauguration that's surrounded by 12-foot barbed wire fences, folks. This is installation banana republic time. You want to call me a conspiracy theorist? Go right ahead. Yeah. But I'm telling you, when people like Hillary Clinton do one bad interview, and then within a week, you have a parade of women to come out and destroy somebody's career, just like they were done with Cuomo. 13 women or 11 women or whatever it was, they kept all of their mouths shut for a decade.
Right. He was a hero.
And all of a sudden—
He was a hero until he wasn't a hero.
Uh-uh. It was, you keep your mouth shut, and then all of a sudden somebody went to those women and said, you can speak out now, it's okay, and we'll protect you if you do. Yeah. And they got him to do it. And now you got that. Who's doing that, right? Who's making the phone call to stop six states from counting their ballots all at the same time on the same night? Who's pulling those strings? Somebody is. And now when you start to learn what's going on with Twitter and you find out with these groups that are all former CIA, former FBI, all in the ranks of these organizations.
Right. How scary is that?
At high-level positions. It's insane.
When you think about that, former FBI, right? And you're thinking, okay, because most people like me were thinking, well, these aren't former FBI people. These are a bunch of left-wing radicals living with mom and dad, and that's who Twitter hired, right? Oh, no. No. It gets much deeper than that. Much deeper than that.
Right.
Did you see this? I sent this to you, New York Post. It's the land of the freebies for New York City's entitled migrants. So they're coming in and they are demanding more free stuff. Now they're putting these homeless up in Manhattan hotels. Manhattan hotels. But of course they're not getting many of them are not getting hotel rooms, in more of a basement style, but there's clean living there. There's bathrooms. Yep. There's not good enough. Yep. Absolutely not good enough. They want first class and more free food. So
Of course. Can I play this one clip real quick just to back up for 1 second, then we'll move on. I wanted to play this one. It's like a 30, not even, it's like a 15-second clip. This is how bad these folks lie. And they lie so well, right? It's amazing. This is a Department of Justice guy. This is the leader of the Hamilton 68 group, okay? This is what he said on MSNBC. Maybe. Or not. Come on. Oh, my Lord. Seriously.
Now, you and your team, you guys created a website, Hamilton 68.
Yes. My colleagues and I, we tracked Russian accounts.
That's some bullshit.
So they're literally right now, they're Russian bots, according to your website, that are putting this out into the world. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah. Totally untrue. Yeah. So they put together a group, this Hamilton 68, put together a group of former FBI and CIA folks, and then went out and found accounts that that was putting out information that they didn't like or against Joe Biden or whatever it was. A lot of the information that was being put out was that there was a deep state. So they basically went out and tried to crush anything that was about, you know, any accounts that were talking about a deep state or anything like that. You know, they wanted these accounts absolutely shut down, and they labeled them as Russian bots. Just unbelievable. This is our – these are our – a lot of these folks were
– former CIA, you know, former FBI, unreal.
Yep.
These are supposed to be the people that we turn to protect us. Right. We trust them with everything that we have.
Here's who's on that council. Neoconservative writer Billy Crystal, right? Bill Crystal. Former ambassador to Russia Michael McFaul. Ex-Hillary for America chief John Podesta. We all know him. And former heads of heads or deputy heads of the CIA, NSA, and the Department of Homeland Security. And it's on our thing. It's a whole list of folks here. Anna Palacio, Michael Morell. I mean, these are all former heads or deputies of these different agencies in the intelligentsia. It's again, going back and you look at hindsight, I would have never supported the Patriot Act.
No.
I would have never supported President Bush. I would have never supported. And I wish I had listened to Ron Paul at the time, who said eventually the government will use this for their own purposes that will be against the American people. And that's exactly what they're doing in huge, huge amounts.
Anytime you add anything to government, number one, consider that you're never going to get it back. Number two, most of the time it ends up as being a piece of garbage that's going to hurt you.
Yeah, screwing you.
Doesn't matter what it is, right? Oh, the Department of Education, we're going to help kids. Oh, that's wonderful. Yep. Oh, look at
Screws your kids.
That's right.
Screws your kids.
All, we're going to add on all kinds of welfare because we got to lift these people up. We're going to help them, right? Oh, it sounds like a good idea, but it never ends up well. Never.
Yeah. Unbelievable. This is you want to talk about COVID just for a second? I know we touch on this every week, but people are dropping like flies, right? I said to a friend of mine recently about this. He goes, wow, I mean, come on. This is so we're talking about another football player. Yeah. Well, that's just a one-off. Like,
no,
that's
it's not just
like
a one-off. It's a one-off 30th every day. Off. Like, Glenn, when 20 years ago, if a high school or a college student died on a court, that would have been a national story, and you would have heard about it for 4 or 5 days, right? 4 or 5 days. Now, it's just not no big deal. They don't even play the story. And, of course, we've been saying this forever, right? It's not what the media tells you. It's what they don't tell you, right? So now they're just not – to find these stories, you have to receive the Twitter feed from one of your buddies, right? Or you got to get the text message. And we're in a bunch of text – that's the only way you get it. You're not turning on ABC and hearing, wow, 7 high school basketball players fell over yesterday, right? Now 20-something years ago you did. 30 years ago – national story, not anymore. France did a study with 1,700% the deaths up in high school and college athletes since the shots.
Listen to this, though. These folks, they are – I mean, you got the poor lady who's the actress who half her face is paralyzed, right?
And I know
it's not permanent. Yeah, I would do it over again because that's what we have to – listen to this one, though. This is more recent. This is just in the last couple of weeks. This is an MSNBC reporter. She's been missing for the last month. Now she's back on to explain what happened to her. Nothing to do with the vaccine, Mike. No. This is unreal.
What's amazing is you can't even have the conversation, right? Because I'm sure there are a lot of instances.
But even when it happens to them, they are so invested.
Glenn, you cannot untrick people.
This shot is safe and effective. This is what propaganda and brainwashing does. They have said safe and effective so many times that even when people are injured right after they take the vaccine, you got to listen
to this.
People
do not want to be tricked. Your brain is designed to say, I do not want to be tricked. It is easier to trick people than to untrick people. And that's not saying you go out and trick people. I'm saying it is these people have been lied to. But they do not want in the back of their brain. They're saying, I do not want to be tricked. Kathy Hochul last week, we're talking about bringing nurses back, right? Because of the court case. Say, now we can bring these nurses. We've got a nurse shortage. The COVID's over. Let's bring them back. Nope. And her answer I cannot. I have to make sure that these hospitals are safe. Well, if you actually look at the data, Kathy, the people without the shot are much less likely to have COVID at this point than the people that had the shot. So if you're really looking at the data and you want to be safe, you would say, I really would rather have people that don't have the shot at this point. But the real, the right answer is just shut your mouth and let these people back in and start
doing it.
They cannot,
can't do it.
They do not want to be untricked, including her. She does not want to be untricked. She's not wrong. We're going to double up. We're going to triple up. We're going to quadruple
up. Double down
and
every
everybody
time.
Everybody that she's already
down.
Tricked that is on their seventh booster shot is like, that's right. That's right. No, you can't.
Listen to this. This is insane. Listen to this. This is nuts.
From my Twitter feed that many of you have wondered why I have been off the air for a little while. Well, I have been dealing with a little bit of a health scare. On December 20th, I began to feel chest pains, and they waxed and waned over a period of 10 days. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it, but as they continued to get worse, I started to think something was actually wrong.
Yeah, young lady in her 30s, normal.
It was December 30th when I finally went to an urgent care and was told I had reflux. I didn't really buy it, but I was relieved it wasn't my heart. My body, though, was pretty certain not to believe the reflux. The next day, on December 30th, I woke up with severe pains both in my chest and in my left shoulder, and it was like a tightening in my chest. When I took deep breaths, that got worse when I was laying flat. I knew enough at that moment to understand that it could mean, could is the key word here, that I was having a heart attack, especially because it was happening in the left part of my shoulder. I want to remind you, I run 7 miles 3 to 4 times a week, or I did. Yeah. I do yoga. I don't eat meat. I don't smoke.
Well, that's your first problem.
I drink occasionally.
Meat.
Not right now, though, because my doctor tells me I can't. Aside from probably not getting enough sleep and working too much, I'm a pretty healthy person. But on that day, I was anything but. My husband drove me to the emergency room, and from there, the nightmare that has been my January began. I was diagnosed with pericarditis, inflammation of the lining of my heart,
variable.
Brought on by a virus, a literal common cold.
Wow.
I also had fluid around my heart that had to be drained or else it could hinder
that's
the beating.
A literal common cold.
I was transferred from
the
local hospital to NYU Langone here in New York City. On January 4th, I was finally discharged after doctors drained the fluid around my heart, and I bounced out of the hospital. I couldn't get out of there fast enough with the hopes I was on the mend. But that was not the end.
But
3 days later, I was readmitted when I felt a flutter in my heart, like a butterfly. It was inside my chest. They determined I had developed myocarditis, inflammation of the actual heart now, the heart muscle.
Wow.
I remember being shepherded through the emergency room and wondering, is this it?
God.
It wasn't. Thank God.
Who else got
cold again,
Mike? I spent 5 more days in the hospital where they ran a battery of tests, adjusted my meds, and made sure nothing else was...
Think about this for a second. What in the world is the matter with you?
No, I know. I just
we have not. We've had common cold for 30 fucking
it
years.
It didn't cause myocarditis.
We have not.
Didn't
cause, yes. Are you serious?
No, I know.
What doctor told
how
you?
How old is she?
I think
40 years old.
She's a health lady.
How old is she?
No, she's like
30-something.
She can't be much more than 30-something years old. If she's 40-something years old, she's 30s. Had a lot of work done.
Even better.
This is a young lady who is healthy, by her own admission, runs 7 miles 3 times a week, does yoga, doesn't eat meat, doesn't smoke.
Two years ago.
Common cold caused it, Mike. Who knew?
2 years
common
ago, Mike and Glenn
it.
Had guests
Holy
on.
Shit.
They had guests on
Jeez.
That said, I got the shot, and immediately, within 10 to 20 minutes, I had myocarditis, right? It was 100% the shot. We've had these guests on. But they can't seem to find those people.
Even the CDC that they put on such a pedestal has said that myocarditis and pericarditis are side effects of the shot. Where is it saying in the CDC that myocarditis is a common side effect of cold?
No, I know.
I was shocked to find out that it was because of a virus.
Yeah.
It was caused by
my
bias. Just a simple common cold.
It wasn't the shot.
It's my
really
God.
But they do not want to feel untricked. I really believe. I believe somebody like her is not in her brain. She's saying there's no way. She's already been brainwashed that shot is safe and effective. It's not the shot. It's not the shot.
Safe
and by the way, the other side of my brain is saying they didn't lie to me. They didn't screw me. No way did they do that. There's no way they would have done that. I'm fine. It's something else. It's really unreal.
It's unreal.
It's beyond unreal.
I mean, I was told it was a all of these different cases of myocarditis, all the conversations, you're on TV. Yeah. I'm sure maybe in the coffee room somebody was talking about this at some point. Yeah. I mean, for you to go to a doctor, I went to the doctor, they told me it was indigestion. I didn't believe that, but I'm going to believe it was caused by a common cold.
Yeah, unreal.
You're going to believe that?
It's unreal. You can't make it up. House Republicans, by the way, are launching an investigation of Biden and the COVID relief. We'll see if any of this stuff comes out. I'm
going nowhere.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath because I won't be here.
The money laundering going on right now in the Ukraine is one of the biggest operations in the history of wealth transfer. It is sickening what's going on.
We've got veterans here that we can't take care of. Meanwhile, we're sending hundreds of millions of dollars over there. And again, we've sounded like a broken record, could very easily end this. All you need to do is increase the supply of oil here, put Russia out of business, and it would happen
but
real fast.
But they don't want to end it, though.
If you increase, supply by 30%, the futures market price it in immediately, fuel drops to a buck something a gallon, everybody in the United States is better off, they've got more money in their pocket, we start to see that trickle into other areas like milk and cookies and eggs, and then we wipe out Russia. But they know that they don't want to do that.
They don't want to do that. Because they can ship over billions of dollars. Here's the thing that here's what I suspect, right? I suspect that the reports of biolabs in the Ukraine is 100% true, right? You've got Pfizer now on tape, right, talking about one of their – this is a high-level guy.
How scary is that?
Mutating the virus.
We have case after case after case of people getting myocarditis. We now have Pfizer on tape saying they want to mutate it so they can continue this garbage just to make money. And you can't find that anywhere unless your buddy texted to you or unless you somehow stumble across it on Twitter. That's it. That's it. That should be breaking news. Pfizer should be literally that company if that was a Republican-run company. And 87 cents out of every dollar in Pfizer is contributed to the Democrat Party. I looked it up online. 87 cents out of every dollar is contributed. If that was a flip-flop, that company would be bankrupt right now. They would be bankrupting that country. They would be suing the crap out of that country. Like an oil company that spilled oil in Florida, right? It would be billions of dollars.
It'd be billions of dollars. It's crazy. I mean, so they don't want it to end because they're shipping all kinds of money over there to the Ukraine, right? All this money going to the shots, going to the money laundering, changing hands. Right? Nobody's getting the shots anymore. Nobody's going signing up for boosters. No. It's less and less and less and less. They're still buying these things by the millions of dollars, right? I'm convinced that in the Ukraine, there absolutely were bioweapons labs. They were doing experiments there because, again, you can get away with that stuff in Ukraine. The most corrupt country on the planet. Maybe not the most, but certainly one of the most corrupt countries on the planet. We act as if these Democrats, I'm going to get a bumper sticker in gold and blue that says, I support the most corrupt country on the planet, or one of the most corrupt countries on the planet. That's how dumb people are. But no question in my mind, there's biolabs there. They are holding stuff over Biden. Obviously, the same thing with Republicans, right? Mitt Romney's son was getting rich on the board of Burisma, too. Yep. So this is a way for all the Bushes,
Romney,
the Clintons,
Kerry,
the Romneys.
Right. Yep. What's the odds
Kerry,
of that?
Clinton,
what's the
Pelosi,
odds of that? Just in Erie County, what's
Hunter?
What's the odds of my child or your child working in the same little area that Mark Poloncarz's kids are? What's the odds of that right here?
All on the same board, getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars with no experience whatsoever, and it gets way worse than that, folks. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So when Biden says, no, we're not going to send you tanks, and Zelensky says, jump, Biden. I want tanks. Biden goes, yep, tanks. Yep. Coming tanks. We got tanks. When Biden says, we don't know if we can do any more money, Republicans say, we're not sure. Zelensky snaps and says, really? I'll release the photos, Joe. I got the intel, Joe.
Yep.
And guess what happens? Oh, we write you a check right away. Republicans get on board, too. Republicans and Democrats have been in lockstep in shipping money to Ukraine. Why? Oh, because Russia's a big, bad threat. Russia took Crimea. And the Obama administration didn't bat an eye. Russia took Crimea, and Obama and Joe Biden sent blankets and pillows. They did nothing. It wasn't a threat to the world. And I'm not saying Russia is the good party here at all.
But we could end it. If they wanted to end it, we could end it.
We could end it, 100%. 100%. You drill for oil, you bankrupt Russia, they're out of money, this conflict ends. But they don't want that, though. Again, they don't want that because then they can't keep shipping money over there, but they can't keep swiping it off the top, right?
I know.
Think about Baghdad. Joe Biden's brother, right, got the housing contract to rebuild Iraq.
Right.
Remember this?
Right.
I mean, when you start, if you can remember
that's
all
unreal.
This stuff.
That's unreal.
Billions.
That's
unreal. And billions and billions of
and,
dollars in
and
these
years
things.
Ago, I would have said, these people are conspiracy theory nut jobs. What's the odds of the Biden family getting the reconstruction job? I mean, come on. Seriously? Really? I mean, to be honest
right,
with you.
Because he's qualified as a builder. Nope.
Yeah, that's right. I would think I would think in that level, it would be just the opposite. Like, if I was Joe Biden, I would say, I don't want you getting that contract because they're going to blame me for it. They don't give a shit. They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care.
They're worth billions of dollars. This is how it works, whether it's Ukraine, Iraq, it doesn't matter. Yeah. It's sick.
Let me wrap up here. I'm going to make a prediction for the next bull market, and I've been talking about this for a while. I think the next bull market will be tech-driven. And Whole Foods the other day, they're getting ready. Now, people are calling it the Great Reset. I don't believe that. I do think there is some stuff where the Republicans can, like, take a step back. The Whole Foods now is putting together an app. You got to have the app, the QR code to come in, right? Now, I've got some real close friends that are in the food business, and I can tell you that these grocery stores, they work on a very thin margin. What really kills them is theft, number one, and, of course, labor cost. You know, it's pretty labor intensive. Yeah. There's a lot of people in there, right? So what Whole Foods is doing is saying, okay, well, we're going to get rid of the cashiers. And we've been talking about this forever, right? So now you've got this app, this QR code, and it's going to monitor everything you're doing in their store. And that you're going to be able to check yourself out in the back of the store or wherever you want to and walk out. So you now have Whole Foods saying, okay, we've had enough. We can't hire people. There's a labor shortage.
So you're checking out as you're going through the store. Yes. So you take something off the shelf, you bing it, you put it in your cart.
Yep.
I mean, why not? Why wait until the end?
So
that's genius.
Some of the Republicans are saying, oh, they're going to monitor everywhere you are. Like, okay, well, I don't believe that. They're listening to you, right? They're doing it because there's a labor shortage, right? And these companies are not going to sit forever and say, you know what? That's okay. We've got 59 million people on welfare. You don't want to work. And the people that do want $75 an hour to check people out, screw you. I'll do it myself. And so you are going to have a radical shift over the next 2 to 3 years to move more towards this AI technology and robots. And, of course, we talked about it a few weeks ago. McDonald's has now set up their first 100% automated store. So, is that going to be bad for everybody? Because some people say, oh, my God, there'll be no jobs left. And I'm like, no, you're missing it. There are too many jobs and not enough people. So what the business owners are doing is they're saying, where can I get people? I still want good quality people, but where I can't get people, I'm going to replace that with a robot. And the profit margins are going to be huge. You and I have owned some Subways in the past. We've shared these stories a long time. The hardest part to a Subway was not the build out. It was stressful because we were young kids. We didn't have a lot of money back then. It wasn't ordering the food or the operation of it. It was hiring good quality people. And people ask me all the time, they're like, oh, would you ever open up a Subway again? And I'm like, I'll say this. Subway, I thought we learned a ton from it. They were a good franchise. We made
good
money on it. But we're at a different point in our life where we don't want to be dealing with, oh, my God, the manager's sick. Billy's not working. Right. I've got to go in there on a Sunday morning. Right. But if robots run it, I might be interested in opening 30 of those. I might be. I got to be honest with you. If I don't have to worry about hiring people and we can hire one manager to run 10 stores, I might be in for that. You know,
I love the article you sent me, though. It's a left wing article. It's Money Watch, right? By Ami Pichy. McDonald's unveiled an automated store, but some consumers aren't loving it.
They will.
The people they cite, though, this is. Obviously, they're talking to liberals. I'm not giving my money to robots, another commenter wrote. Raise a minimum wage. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you'll be the first person to bitch when a McMuffin is $124, right, or whatever it is.
Well,
or a Big Mac is $18,
That's the whole point to it. McDonald's is saying raise the minimum wage to $3,000, right? But that's what McDonald's.
Right,
McDonald's is saying, okay, dummy lefty, you raise the minimum wage to $100,000 an hour, right? You pick the number because we don't need you anymore. I do believe this is going to hurt China, by the way. If you look at China, China's got a massive amount of debt. They've got double the debt the U.S. has, right? They've got an aging population. And the biggest number one banger for China was cheap labor. And we're going to be replacing that cheap labor with robots. Yeah. And they're going to have some issues.
China's got the two things going for it. It's got cheap labor and it's got theft.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Huge.
And I say theft, I mean theft of our
intellectual property.
Right?
Talk to business owners. We've got business owners that run and own manufacturing companies, and they will tell you they put the theft into their numbers. They know stuff's going to get stolen there. And by the way, if you call the police in China, what they do is say, oh, I'd love to hear that story, and they investigate it to figure out why they're not getting a cut. They don't give a shit that the money's getting stolen. They want to figure out where the cut is, right? I mean,
yeah, where's their piece
of it? The Communist Party is very, very crooked. But now, I want to think about this. If we can manufacture stuff and we need robots instead of their cheap labor, and we don't have to worry about theft, you know, that's a sad thing. The sad thing is the United States of America is in such a winning position right now. If we could control our spending, reduce corporate taxes to be the most competitive in the world, these manufacturing plants would continue to come back here because they don't need that cheap labor anymore. And Trump was Trump was on track for it. I mean, Trump was doing it, right? 100%. That's exactly what he was doing.
These comments, this article, are just priceless.
You know what? I didn't even I Googled. I knew we talked about it, so I Googled it and just sent it to you to remind you.
Oh, my God. Well, there goes millions of jobs, one commenter on TikTok said in a new restaurant said. Oh, no. First, we have to talk with Siri and Google, and now we have to talk to another computer, one opined. This is so funny. Yeah. And if they forget an item, who are you supposed to tell? The robot?
Yeah.
It defeats the purpose of using the drive-thru if you have to go inside for it, one commenter wrote. Here's the thing, folks. They don't forget.
Right.
Robots don't forget. No. That's the point, right? People,
the
human
service
error,
will be better.
Yeah, 100%.
The service will be better. That argument. And by the way, these people are, I'm never going to go there. Okay.
The millions of jobs.
You'll be
though,
there.
The millions of, these are not, look, this is where I think people are completely, they've twisted the narrative and we fall prey to this, right? These are not meant to be self-sustaining lifetime careers, unless you're going to be the manager, which you can make some decent money. But if you're working the fry machine, right?
Yeah.
And you're there for 5 years, and you're still on the fry machine.
Yeah, probably.
Then there's something wrong with your development from a business or a worker standpoint, right?
Right.
The idea of working at McDonald's, number one, for a lot of people is to find out what you don't want to do in life. Okay, go back to school and get an education so that you're not working the fry machine. That's a good part of what some of those jobs for kids. But the other part, more importantly, is for these kids to get – and I say kids because most of these jobs are occupied by 18 to 25-year-olds statistically, okay?
Yeah, or
at
retired.
At least the last stats I'd look.
Yeah, or retired folks looking for something. You know, hey, look, I'll work the lunch shift. It gives me something to do. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but the last time I checked, it was like 3/5 or something like that, right? So close to 2/3 were kids.
But this is what happens when you unionize Starbucks, right? Everybody else looks around and says, I'm not going to put up with this crap. First of all, I can't put up with this crap. I'm a business owner. I can't pay $35 an hour for you to shake the fry bin. I just can't do it. The money's not there. So if you liberal left-wing nut job want to open that, which, by the way, they've tried to do that, right? It's these
they can't. It doesn't work.
What they call them, where you come in and you
co-op.
You give what you think is good. Every one of them going out of business, though, Glenn. There was like two or three of them in Buffalo. Yeah. They're all
we have
out,
no
of
prices.
Out of business.
Because socialism doesn't work. No. Because someone else will pay when socialism tries to work. But what I was going to say, the more important part about the jobs for these kids or new workers into the workforce is just that. The entry level, the understanding of how to show up on time, how to work with coworkers, you know, how to work a schedule, you know, how to be responsible, you know, how to work within an environment where you have to follow certain rules or procedures, right? These are all very important life skills and job skills that are going to help you in your next career and moving up the ladder. Understanding expectations, right? You know, working with customers, even at that level, working with somebody, just working a cashier, you know, having that personal interaction is going to, again, help the developmental skills for that employee to move on into an office environment or something that's going to be more, you know, maybe it's a better skill. Maybe it's, you know what? I don't want to be here. I'm going to go back and become a plumber.
Let me make
a
prediction right now, though. What will happen is the stock market will rally around this because it will hit corporate earnings, right? Markets always go back to corporate earnings. The families that have wealth, and there will be a continued divide in this country, and I've been calling on this. We've been talking about this for a decade now. It'll be the upper middle class, really, really wealthy, an upper middle class, and a lower class. Right. And the lower class will be the people that are driving. You're driving down the street now and they've got two cars. They've got a white picket fence and they're living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. And then you've got the upper middle class and they've got $700,000-$800,000 in their 401k plan. And they've got some money. They've paid down their bills. They don't have it. They're not living beyond their means. Right. And when the stock market goes up because of this, their $800,000 turns into 1.6 over a 5 or 6, 7 year period. Right. And they continue to live and be able to prosper. And by the way, they transfer that wealth to their kids if they do a good job, and the kids. So some of the kids take it, and now they take that 1.6 or 3.23, and they turn it into $5 million. And you're asking, we're asking, who can afford these houses? Well, that's what happens, right? But then you get the poor, and it's very difficult, and it makes it even more challenging to get out of that ring because there's less opportunity. It'll happen; people will get out of it, but not as many. Yep.
But still the best place in the world to go from that I'm on the streets to I can get ahead
nowhere
and I can put myself nowhere better.
Nowhere
like
better.
You don't get those
still
opportunities.
And to your point, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but somebody said to me, Mike, oh my gosh, if McDonald's and Whole Foods, they're all losing some points, there'll be no jobs. And I'm like, you are missing it. The problem is there are still too many jobs. You know, I had to get 3 rooms painted in a warehouse that I own. Now, they're big rooms. So these are not like, you know, it's a big room. Big room, but the paint, because I priced out the paint, it was $1,000, right? So, Glenn, you're a math guy. If the cost of goods are $1,000, what do you think the price of this job would cost? Just give me an estimate. Just off the top of your head, $2,000, right? And by the way, that's exactly what I was thinking in my brain. I'm thinking, okay, if the cost of goods is $1,000, I was thinking $2,000 in labor, it's going to cost me about $3,000 to get these rooms painted. Okay. First guy shows up, $11,000. Second guy shows up $9,500, and the third guy shows up at $9,800.
You could fly to Florida, no joke.
Bring them back.
You could go pick up a couple of Guatemalans. I'm not even kidding you. You could put them on a plane and fly them to New York cheaper, put them up in your house, they'll have that thing painted by the end of the weekend, and you can fly them back to Florida, take them to a, show downtown.
I outsource everything, because... Yep. I feel my time is better spent at the financial firm.
Yeah.
Last night, I went, took me an hour. I painted one of the rooms. I said, I'll just do it myself. Yeah. I'm refusing to pay that.
It's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. Yep. And for people who say, oh, my God, there'll be no jobs. No, there's jobs. You have to have just a little bit of skill set, right? It does not take a Yale graduate to paint a room, right? And you can't tell me these people are worth $500 an hour, right?
You know what it is.
No competition.
No competition.
No,
that's it. There's
that's exactly
nobody
right.
else out there.
No.
They're the only ones that are willing to return the phone call and get out of bed and say, you know what?
Yep.
I got as much business as I can take, so I'm going to throw out some highballs because guess what? I'm going to bid 4 jobs. I'm going to bid 4 all at 10 grand.
That's right.
I only need 2 of them. I can only take 2.
That's right.
2 are going to say yes. 2 are going to tell me I'm crazy, but cool.
Yeah. And
whatever.
there's going to be doctor clients that say, I'm working 60 hours a week. I have no other choice. So
and that feeds into inflation, too.
That's right. So, but here's the thing. Like, we've got 59 million people on welfare. And by the way, I'm not, this is going to surprise a lot of Republicans, I'm not against more IRS agents. I'm against it, but I'm not against it. What do you mean? Well, I'm against it because I know what they're going to do. They're going to target hard class working people that are paying taxes. But if you told me we had IRS agents that were just going to go after all the people that work under the books, I might be up for that. Because every job I talk to now, here's what I get. Well, if you'll pay me cash, and I'm thinking, oh my God, am I the only one? Are Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas the only one that pay taxes? Maybe there is something to be said about
that. Feels like it some days.
Yeah.
So here's the funny thing about that, Mike, is that when you look at the actual statistics, 4 out of 5 audits or something along those lines actually hit low-income people.
Yeah.
That's who the IRS is auditing.
Yeah.
And when they asked Janet Yellen specifically, are you going to use these 87,000 IRS agents to target, you know, higher net worth and upper middle class, she said, no, we're going to maintain the same ratio. Okay, fine. So the same ratio means that okay, you're going to be, if you're if you're upper income, let's say you're in the top 20 percentile of income, you're going to have roughly 15,000 more IRS agents to deal with.
Yeah.
But if you're in the bottom part of your income, you're going to have like 70,000 more IRS agents to deal with.
If they said to
that
me,
is where the fraud is.
If they said to me they were targeting that, I may be up for that. The problem is, and we started the show, that's nobody trusts the government because that's not how it ends up, right? And the hardworking class people that are doing the right thing,
hit too.
They know that they're going to be coming in saying, wait a minute, you accidentally wrote off this Starbucks coffee that you shouldn't have. And they're like, okay, we're at 0.00000005%. Yep. And that's what they'll end up doing. But I see it. It's 59 million people on welfare. You can't tell me 20 million of them are not working off the table. That's exactly what they're doing. And they come to your house, they come to my house, and they say, well, I'll do the job only if you pay me in cash. I had a guy, I'm doing a kitchen remodel. It was a $130,000 project. He goes, I'll only do it if you'll do it in cash. I'm like, I'm not giving you $130,000 in cash. I'm sorry. That's just never going to happen. If you screw this job up, you walk, I'm gone, number one, number two. I'm not going to do that.
If you're the one, I will tell you this. Let's say that project takes 12 months. How long did the project take? 12 months?
No. It was probably about 4 months.
Yeah. Okay. 4 months. How do you get $130,000 out of the bank in 4 months?
I know.
I'm serious.
Right.
I'm serious.
Right.
You go to the bank right now.
Yeah.
You go to the bank right now. Go to your corner bank and say, you go to your corner bank and ask for $20,000. They don't have it.
Yeah.
They can't give it to you.
To your point.
I've done it. They don't have it.
That's funny. So, Glenn, when I bought my house in Alma, they screwed up my down payment. They forgot to tell me that they didn't do jumbo loans, even though they said everything was fine, blah, 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 blah. So last minute, I had to get – now, fortunately, very blessed, I had the resources available to be able to do it. So I go down to the bank and said, I need additional money to put down on this house. We're supposed to be closing. They never told me, right? They said, we can't give it to you. I said, you're going to give it to me. It's my money.
Did they give you a cashier check or something?
Money
order?
Literally had to go to a different branch, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, like, I'm going to lose this house today. Like, what happened? I don't even know. Like, so I got part of my money.
So let's assume that you have to go and they say, okay, Mr. Lomas, Mr. Wiggle, we will have to order that money in. That's what they have to do. They have to bring the cash in. Okay,
yeah.
So now you take out $130,000 in one shot. I assure you, the IRS agents are knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Now, even worse, if you, let's say, take out $30,000 a month for 4 months, and the bank is going to report that to the IRS. Those are reportable transactions over $10,000, sometimes over $5,000. Those are reportable transactions to the IRS, deposits or withdrawals over a certain amount. That withdrawal pattern or a deposit pattern
right.
that is similar.
And I'm doing nothing criminal. I'm buying a house. Right.
It will. Yeah. They can and have with other people frozen and withdrawn the money from those people's bank. I'll give you an example. This is a true story in Michigan. A deli owner, a gas station deli owner,
remember this.
Was a big cash business in his community that he was, only had insurance that covered him to $10,000 for cash losses. So as he got close to $8,000 or $9,000, he would go across the street to the bank and deposit the cash.
Yeah.
Well, the IRS came in and said, nope, we deem that money laundering.
Frozen.
You know, you're layering. And they froze his bank accounts and took all of his money. This is his operating account. Now, fortunately, there's some non-for-profits out there that helped this guy out, the Tax Foundation or whatever it was called, that fought the IRS on his behalf and got the guy's money back. But you can't even do that. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Okay, so you can't get the money out.
Imagine the stress going through that, Glenn.
What's he
going
to do with the money?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, give me $130,000, but hopefully, the IRS will use some of those money laundering rules and tools to go after people exactly like that for doing it.
Because it does get old. By the way, most of them are Democrats. We had this years ago with we had a cleaning person who said we knew he voted for Obama, and he was so upset at the end of the year that we 1099'd him. He was, I would have never done this job, and I known I was getting a 1099. I'm like, look, so let me get this straight. You voted for a scumbag who wants to increase my taxes, and you're working basically illegally is what you wanted to do, under the table, paying zero taxes, and that's just A-OK. That's exactly what these liberals are all about.
Yeah. So let me tell you how the Democrats get away with the money laundering and some of the ways that they do it. Okay, so we got to get the money back to the big guy, Joe Biden. Here's how this works. We're going to use U.S. tax money to give money to the Ukraine. The puppet president that we control in the Ukraine is going to support an energy company in Burisma or whatever else it is at the time, right? That company is going to employ members of these, you know, political classes, family, the Mitt Romney's son and John Kerry's nephew or whatever, son or whatever it was, Nancy Pelosi's kids and, you know, whatever, right? Now, they get paid that money, $100,000 a month or whatever, legitimately is directly deposited into their bank. So now it's not a money laundering issue anymore. Now Hunter rents his dad's apartment. Now we found that out with the whole classified document thing.
50 grand. Right? Fair market value.
For an outrageous sum, right?
Fair market value. $50,000 a month in Delaware.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Because right?
Yeah.
But it's legit. You have a lease.
By the way, Glenn, I didn't mean to interrupt you again. I'm sorry.
An audible thing, though. If it's not fair market value, the IRS can look at it, but they won't.
They won't. Two offices down in Jupiter, Florida, right? Jupiter Island is the most richest or wealthiest zip code in, I think, the world, actually. But you can rent a house on Jupiter Island. And I want you to do this, folks. Google Jupiter, one of the most beautiful places. You know, Perry Cuomo used to say it's paradise, right? He ended every show with it's paradise. You can rent a beautiful
20, 30,000 square foot mansion. One side of the mansion is on the inlet. The other side of the mansion is on the Atlantic Ocean. Breathtaking views, $20,000 a month. Somehow, Hunter's renting this little house in Delaware for $50,000 a month, and nobody bats an eye. You can't. You can't even make this stuff up.
Classified documents.
Anymore.
That was a perk.
Yeah, stuff near the Corvette.
He probably rented. He probably rented back access to the house. Yeah, he was probably making 80. You know, he was probably renting it back out to somebody else, making 80, paying Joe to
New York Post.
But that's how they do it, folks. That's how they get that money.
With this, Hunter Biden paid assistant thousands off the books for filthy sex chats, text shows. So.
Yeah.
He had the cash ready and available. But I mean, I can't imagine if that was Trump's son or daughter.
Hunter's got a love child out there.
Hunter has
a love child out there he refuses to support. Yeah. So could you imagine if one of Trump's kids knocked up a stripper, and refused to support the child, right, is told the court he was impoverished, gets away with it. Now the Biden family, by the way, is suing the woman because she's trying to give the son the Biden surname.
Of course.
And they're trying to sue to block that even.
These people are disgusting.
Human beings.
Disgusting.
If you know someone who supports the Biden family and so, just make sure they know all this stuff. If they still say say but what?
But
successful kids? I mean, what, you don't
loving,
like Don's Jr.'s girlfriend? I mean, what? No. What is it
Where's
exactly?
the all-loving and inclusive left-wingers? How come other members of the Biden family aren't bringing this child in, right? I mean, that's what we'd be doing in my family. You know, if I had a sister, thank God I don't. I've got two sisters that have their act together. If something happened to one of those kids, I'd be bringing them in, right? Not one family, not one Biden family member says, hey, look at, you know, Hunter's a little bit of a crack addict, but we're going to accept this baby as part of ours.
Just write her a check.
All love you. Yeah.
Don't even. Yeah. Okay.
Cut 1% of the
kid
ten
a check
back for the
kid. God's sakes. Yeah. Like, you know, could you support the child and the mother who's raising this kid now?
Give the
kid a chance. You piece of garbage. Yeah. You. I mean, God. Anyway. All right.
All right. We'll wrap it up
here. But I do want to mention we just wrapped up an incredible Medicare season. So thank you for all of our. I'm sure they're not listening to this podcast necessarily, but we did do a. We are up 30-some odd percent, and it's just continuing to be on fire. Property casualty, those folks that listen to this podcast probably are doing some property casualty. That division's on fire as well. And I want to thank all of the folks that have called our office and said, you know, I don't even care if it costs more. I just want to do business with you guys because I appreciate your attitude and your conservative nature and what you're trying to do and what you stand for. And we appreciate that. Most often, we are actually saving you money, though, so we don't expect you to pay more money. We are able to shop over 25 companies, which very few people actually do, right? So even these agencies that you work with that have all these different vendors, it's very rare to have a good agent or group of agents that is proactively looking for savings for you on a regular basis, or at least understanding the new products these companies are coming out with and saying, hey, by the way, that happened to me. I had Travelers Forever, right? We started this company, and Mike Spiraza says, hey, by the way, Travelers has a new program. You're on like four versions ago, and like I can save you like $4,000. I'm like, what? Travelers doesn't call you and tell you that, by the way.
The other side of that, though, is I had a buddy this week who was with a big-name insurance company, not one of our 25. We've got 25 companies, but there's certainly more than 25 out there. We've got a little over 26, some of that. But we shopped it, and we couldn't beat it. And they came back and said, hey, look, you are in great shape. But next year, the following year, you know, at some point, that insurance company's probably going to go across the board and raise everybody by 30%. Call us, you know, and we'll see what we can do. But we'll tell you. We'll give you an honest opinion on it.
Absolutely. So give us a call at the office, 833-FIN-GUYS, 833-FIN-GUYS, or go to our website even better at thefinancialguys.com. You'll find all of our different companies, all of our different links. You can also check out financialguysmedia.com, where you'll find all of our podcasts, radio shows, articles, and interviews, and all the things that we've done in the media. And we're looking forward to doing some really cool stuff with that company in the next couple of months, really. So app coming out, so you'll hopefully be able to listen to our podcasts and radio shows and replays seamlessly on our own Financial Guys app. I know that's going to be coming in sometime in the next couple of months or so. So we're excited about that. And just continuing to grow the network. You know, the Financial Guys Media Network is continuing to add on different podcasts and interviews and really cool stuff. So check out financialguysmedia.com for all that information. And again, if you need us, feel free to use us as a resource at thefinancialguys.com. All right. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you on Saturday on the radio show from 1 to 3 right here, again, on the Financial Guys Media Network.